It'll be warm, sunny, and dry the rest of this week. That, according to Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin in his Indiana Farm Forecast. It's on the way here on the Hoosier Ag Today podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. They've been proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Good morning, I'm Eric Pfeiffer, glad to have you along. In addition to Ryan's forecast, we also have a breakdown of the ag markets on Wednesday, another sharp sell-off for soybeans. Tom Fritz is here with market analysis. And on today's podcast, this month's Dairy Download, CJ Miller chats with one Noble County dairy farmer who is very excited about what she does and happy to celebrate this National Dairy Month. The news is next with CJ and Andy Eubank here on Hats.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Meet a Noble County dairy farmer who is very passionate about the dairy industry and a product that helps crops get more nutrients from the soil. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, June is National Dairy Month, and it would be hard to find anyone more passionate about the dairy industry than Noble County dairy farmer Abby Herr.
I always say that I have milk running through my blood because I just love dairy.
And that's Abby from Herr Dairy Farm near Kendallville. She says she's always been involved in the dairy industry.
My family had a small dairy farm in South Whitley, Indiana. So I grew up on a dairy farm. And my husband's family is a long line of farmers, as well as my family. It's just always been a passion of mine.
Abby says she and her family decided to install robots to help milk the cows.
We made the decision because we were having a hard time finding labor, and it has been the most wonderful experience putting those robots in. The cows are so relaxed. They go in and they milk on their own time. I mean, I always say they're ladies of leisure. I mean, they can go eat when they want, they can go milk when they want, and then they can just lay around and be lazy.
Abby says during National Dairy Month, it's important not to take the dairy industry for granted.
Any kind of farming, I feel, is like not for the faint of heart. It's a lot of hard work, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love what I do. I love being with the animals. I love this life so much, and I love to be able to provide, you know, healthy dairy products for everyone across the country.
You can hear more of my interview with Abby Herr as part of the Dairy Download podcast presented by American Dairy Association Indiana at HoosierAgToday.com. In a time when you hear so much about supply disruptions, one ag company has plenty of their product designed to activate your soil and make nutrients available for corn and soybean plants. Andy Eubank explains.
Since it is foliar applied, you can still add this product to your 2022 plans. The product is Source, and it comes from Sound Agriculture.
It's really exciting in the times we're in with all the challenges going on with the fertilizer market to be able to offer a solution to help get around that and activate soil, put microbes to work, and actually create nutrients right there in that farmer's field.
Jeff Diven is Director of Sales Agronomy for Sound Agriculture. So what is really happening when Source is applied to a plant?
Waking up and activating bacteria and microbes in the soil that can do things like take in atmospheric nitrogen, they can solubilize phosphorus into available forms for the plant. So really activating those microbes that can do all these great processes for us with a foliar application. So we then activate and get those nutrients right in season when we need them, and we're able to increase yield and create an efficient environment for that crop to grow in.
Diven says Source offers grower options for application. For corn, they like to see it mixed with a herbicide that can go on V4 to V6 with your herbicide pass.
Or you could mix it VT to R1 with your fungicide pass. So the economics work out great. We can ride along with the trip that's already happening across the field. Same thing on soybeans. We could go into the herbicide early or a fungicide pass about R3 on soybeans.
Diven says farmers will like the return on investment opportunities, something their customers have experienced for several years.
Yeah, so the ROI opportunity is very large, especially when you look at the chance to reduce a nitrogen application with source corn. So we typically target about a 3x ROI on the investment of the product. And if you're, you know, able to reduce some high-priced nitrogen, it can be even higher than that. So yeah, at least tripling your investment when we place this product on the best field it can win on.
For more information on Sound Agriculture and Source, visit their website. We have the link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
Planting a seed is an act of faith. And even if it makes it to maturity, Mother Nature and markets determine the value, right? Not when you've got your corn and soybean checkoffs. The checkoff is like a little seed coat of protection. It's like planting a penny to grow a dollar. In fact, with investments in research, new uses, and demand creation, we've seen a $12 return to the farm for every soybean checkoff dollar invested. Check out your Indiana checkoffs at yourcheckoff.org.
We're sunny, warm, and dry for the rest of this week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup, we have less humid conditions for today. That's the good news item, okay? We have less humidity, and it's very comfortable, but it's still warm. Sunshine dominates for today, tomorrow, and most of Saturday. There's a significant front trying to come together and move across the central and western Corn Belt as we move from Friday night through Saturday, but that moisture runs into a wall here as we move from Saturday night into Sunday. So hit-and-miss scattered showers will come together across Michigan and northern Indiana, I-70 northward, on Saturday night and early Sunday. I think that we're going to be able to talk about a few hundredths to maybe 3 or 4 tenths maximum, but at this point, I'm not going to put coverage at any greater than 50% of the state for I-70 north, and honestly, it could be back closer to 40. It's our next rain chance, though, so we're going to be talking about it. Southern Indiana, you may be on the outside looking in. We'll just have to kind of see where that early Saturday morning moisture wants to go, whether it wants to continue to fall apart and move east, or if it can pick up on any kind of heat instability farther south and maybe turn into something a little bit more. So you're definitely on the hook for missing some rain in southern Indiana the way we're looking right now. In any case, by the time we get to Sunday evening, everything's pretty much done, and next week looks fully dry beginning to end Monday through Friday. Next round of moisture could come together overnight next Friday night into Saturday morning. That's the first into the second. Focusing right now on northern Indiana, but central and southern Indiana could be seeing some of that as well, anywhere from a quarter to half an inch up north, US 24 north, next to Friday night. But outside of that, we're looking at a pattern across the country as a whole that gets a little bit more unstable as we move into that first week of July. Peppered around the entire nation's midsection are going to be hit and miss showers and thunderstorms. The deep south coming together with some good moisture too. Up north, though, cooler air is diving southward out of Canada. So I think you're going to set up this tug of war in early July between humid conditions and therefore some pop-up thunderstorms to the south and cooler, drier air to the north. Right now, it's anybody's guess which pattern wins. My money is on the humidity trying to return here. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Welcome to the Dairy Download, presented by American Dairy Association Indiana. I'm CJ Miller. June is Dairy Month as we celebrate Indiana's hardworking dairy farms who help bring milk to your family's table. And one of those hardworking dairy farmers is Abby Herr, with her dairy farm near Kendallville, Indiana, in Noble County. It's a fourth-generation dairy farm, and Abby works with her husband, Steve, on the farm. Abby, you grew up with a passion for dairy farming. Tell me a little bit about the path that led you to working with your husband's family farm.
My family had a small dairy farm in South Whitley, Indiana. So I grew up on a dairy farm. And my husband's family is a long line of farmers, as well as my family. And it's just something, I always say that I have milk running through my blood because I just love dairying. And when we sold out of our family farm, I worked for a dairy farm in South Whitley, Indiana. And it was a wonderful family, and I learned a lot through them, and it just kept my passion going. I just wanted to keep being in the dairy industry because I love what they do. I love what they're about. I love the community. So it's just always been a passion of mine.
chatting with Abby Herr with Herr Dairy Farm in Kendallville. And you told me that not only is Herr Dairy Farm a fourth generation farm, but also working on being a fifth generation farm as well.
Yeah, so we have two daughters that are growing up. One is 9 and one is 7. So right now, this is actually going to be our first year in 4-H, so we're super excited about that. And we are raising them up. They help with the daily chores. They help with calves. They help with bedding. They like to help do all sorts of stuff. And I really like that they get the chance to grow up how my husband and I did and, you know, kind of see the hard work that goes into providing the nutritious dairy products that we have.
One thing I find fascinating about Herr Dairy Farm is the use of robots on the farm to help milk the dairy cattle and also the machinery that's used to help feed them as well. Tell me about the technology that you use on your farm.
So about 4 years ago, actually 5 years ago, we decided to put in DeLaval robots. We have 8 robots. And we made the decision because we were having a hard time finding labor, and we had a good relationship with DeLaval, and we decided to put that in, and it has been the most wonderful experience putting those robots in. The cows are so relaxed. They go in and they milk on their own time. I mean, I always say they're ladies of leisure. I mean, they can go eat when they want, they can go milk when they want, and then they can just lay around and be lazy. And then feed-wise, we have robotic feed pushers. So my brother actually is the feed man for our farm, and he'll feed the cows, and then they come out every hour and push up the feed. So it's all automatic and stuff down there, and it's just really neat to see.
Talking with Abby Herr with Herr Dairy Farm in Kendallville here on Hoosier Ag Today as part of the Dairy Download. Abby, it's National Dairy Month, and it's important to share that a lot of times we take for granted that the milk, meat, vegetables, fruits, all the delicious foods that we enjoy, all of that comes from a farmer like yourself and your husband, Steve, and there's certainly a lot of hard work that goes into bringing that milk to people's homes.
Yes, it is for sure. Any kind of farming, I feel, is like not for the faint of heart. It's a lot of hard work, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love what I do. I love being with the animals. I love this life so much, and I love to be able to provide, you know, healthy dairy products for everyone across the country. And I know a lot of the dairy farmers throughout the state of Indiana and across the nation feel the same way, because when you have that passion to do this, it's just hard to want to give up.
Abby, one of the main buzzwords in dairy farming is sustainability. How have you and your family been practicing that at Herr Dairy Farm?
We definitely work hard to make sure we watch our water usage and stuff like that. Right now, with it being hot out, we have sprinklers going, and they are all set on temperature control. So that way, and it rotates throughout the pen. And so like it'll be on for like 5 minutes in one pen, and then it'll shut off, and it's temperature control. And then also with our manure and stuff, we like to recycle it and put it back out on our fields as like a natural fertilizer.
And Abby, you and your family have also, you mentioned giving tours out to kids and to other families. And that's certainly something that has been helpful in the community, is raising awareness as to what you and your family do on the dairy farm.
Yeah, so we had, in May, we had a school of 400 kids come out, and they toured our farm, and it was amazing. We just actually went through the thank you cards, and it was amazing to see, like, a lot of those kids have never been on a farm before, and to see, you know, them write, like, thank you, I never realized how much, like, a cow ate. I never realized how much went into dairy farming. I never realized about this lifestyle, and I think raising that awareness is something that I like to do it, and I'm sure a lot of other people would like to raise the awareness, too, that also are in any of animal husbandry or anything like that. And we also volunteered at our local nursing home. They reached out to us, and we took a calf, and they were all outside, and so they got to pet the calf and kind of reminisce. It was really neat and interesting to see them reminisce, like, oh, you know, I grew up on a farm and all that kind of stuff. And then we also volunteer. I went into our mini 4-H program and presented about a dairy cow, and then also my child's school, we went and we took a calf in there also, and they got to learn about dairying. So any chance that I get to help spread awareness for the dairy community, I love to do that.
Abby, you represent a younger generation of dairy farmers here in Indiana. You mentioned that your kids will be the next generation of dairy farmers as well. What advice do you have for young people who are looking at a career in dairy farming?
I would say dairy farming is not for the faint of heart, but it's so worth it. You have your good days, you have your bad days, but the pride I get from raising these animals and from getting the milk from them and being able to provide the dairy products and stuff, like, there is no sense of pride that I have. I can't express how prideful I am of being a dairy farmer. And I would encourage the younger generations to want to go out and visit a farm even. And if that's something that you see yourself doing, I mean, you have to have the passion, you have to have the love for the animals and the love of the life, really.
Once again, Abby Herr with Herr Dairy Farm in Kendallville in Noble County. And Abby, best of luck to you and your husband, Steve, and your family there at the farm. And thank you so much for joining us here today on the Dairy Download Podcast, presented by American Dairy Association Indiana, here on Hoosier Ag Today.
Thank you again so much for the opportunity.
You can hear more of my interview with Abby Herr with Herr Dairy Farm in Noble County and see some photos of Abby in action at the farm at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. This has been the Dairy Download Podcast presented by American Dairy Association, Indiana.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know that a little extra can do a whole lot for our customers. That's why we're returning $63 million in patronage straight back to our eligible customers in Indiana this year. Does your lender do that? To learn more about our patronage program and eligibility, visit e-farmcredit.com/patronage. Patronage is a decision the Board of Directors considers and makes every year. It is not a guaranteed payment, but rather a return of our earnings paid to patronage-eligible customers of Farm Credit Mid-America, according to Board resolution.
Another sharp sell-off for the soybean market. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is the Wednesday Farm Market Review brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. If you're looking for a robust lineup of corn or soybeans, both traded and conventional, and you want to increase your yield and your savings, contact Todd and Chris Jeffries at Seed Genetics Direct. I'll have final numbers from Wednesday trade coming in just a few moments. We were mixed in corn and wheat. Soybeans were the big story, though, another big sell-off there. I'm joined now by Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. And Tom, I know that vegetable oils moving lower and crude oil moving lower were not helpful to the soybean market today. What else was at play that provided another tumble for the soybean market?
Well, you hit all the primary points. Palm oil down 10% today. There's no way soybean oil can, offset that. Soybean meal did try to stand in from, what I call left-handed support from intermarket spreading, but it wasn't enough to keep the soybean market alive. Personally, I think soybeans are feeling the effects of not only the lower soybean oil, but also, what everybody's been talking about, a global economic slowdown. We've seen it in China. Granted, they had major problems with the COVID virus, but we're not seeing any pickup in soybean demand. Weather supposedly is going to improve. It's been pretty hot and dry out there lately, but forecasters continue to tell us that the temperatures will eventually abate. The Western Corn Belt is scheduled to see some pretty decent moisture here in the near term, but I'm not seeing a lot for the Eastern Corn Belt. That remains a little bit of a sticking point with me. But, after soybeans earlier today took out, call it the last 4 weeks of support, I do think that attracted a fair amount of technical selling. We've got First Notice Day coming up at the end of next week. So I think that prompts some liquidation of the flat price. But if you notice, July soybeans throughout this, the last break of the last few days has been gaining on August beans. It's been gaining on new crop beans. I think that acts as a reminder that, okay, soybeans are still tight in this country from a basis level viewpoint, but the actual demand, you know, it has slipped a bit. So, you know, couple that with some technical liquidation, the idea of, you know, better weather down the road for the developed soybean crop, you know, really weighs on the market. But so I think you saw a combination of all that happen today. In the corn market, you know, corn tried to have a short covering bounce in the overnight session, but it just failed to get anything going. And we're talking new crop corn here. Look at July corn. July corn's up 7.25 cents on the day. Dece corn down 7.75 cents on the day. Old crop corn is tight. Basis levels continue to advance. You know, I've been expecting that we'd see a squeeze on the July contract during the delivery period. If I didn't know better, it's starting early. But, you know, okay, you want to trade July corn? Well, you've got 2 weeks to trade it. Well, a week and a half to trade it. Then you move into September corn. Is September corn old crop or new crop? So, you know, personally, I like, you know, focusing on a contract that's clear cut that it is either old crop or new crop, and I've got time to trade it. And so that's your December corn. And it struggled to maintain last night's short covering bounce. And once again, it's all about, you know, the idea that the weather is going to get better versus the recent hot and dry, that temperatures are going indeed to abate. The Western Corn Belt's going to see some decent moisture. But as I mentioned in the beans, you know, the Eastern Corn Belt moisture forecast looks a little iffy in my opinion. But the bottom line, you know, the market's in a liquidation phase. At the end of the week, not only are we going to go into the delivery period for the July contract, but we're also going to get quarterly stocks and acreage. And there's a lot of talk out there that quarterly stocks are going to come in tighter than expected. And that's debatable. But acreage, what was it we saw last week? I think it was last week. The old Informa Analytical Group is suggesting we're going to see a major reversal in acreage projections versus what the USDA gave us back in late March, that we are indeed going to see more corn acres and less soybean acres. So, you know, I think that weighs on the corn market. But also, we're seeing a fair amount of technical selling here. You look at, there's a lot of comparisons to the price action we're seeing now to 2008 and again in 2011. In other words, we collapsed in the month, you know, in the latter part of June. Well, okay, what about the month of July? It could be a different story upon which year you're looking at. In 2008, market kept grinding south, whereas in 2011, early July, we saw an abrupt reversal. Markets moved higher. And, you know, okay, we're in a weather market. So we're following these forecasts. So right now, as I mentioned, temperatures are supposed to abate. Western Corn Belt's going to see better moisture. Eastern Corn Belt is a little iffy. Come 4th of July weekend, if we don't see the moisture in the Eastern Corn Belt and temperatures are forecasted to heat back up, right now they're not, you know, we could have something going. But right now it's very clear that we are in a liquidation phase. And as far as I'm concerned, it's extremely seasonal. Wheat market, boy, what a struggle there. You know, the wheat market got its daylights beat in yesterday on talk that, okay, harvest is happening to a poor hard red winter wheat crop, but conditions are improving for the spring wheat crop, not only in this country, but in the Canadian prairies as well. You know, so that weighed on the market, as did talk of Turkey bringing up this issue that trying to create a safe export corridor out of the Black Sea for Ukraine exports. Well, overnight, you know, one of the major grain terminals in Ukraine for export got hit with renewed shelling. So that's, you know, put this idea that, you know, Ukraine's going to get back on track, just put it on the shelf for the time being. But the problem is, okay, we may be losing Ukraine production in the world. Well, Russia's picking up the slack. They've got a bumper wheat crop out there. The European wheat crop's not as bad as what people were alluding to 3 weeks ago. And, okay, we may have a short, hard, red winter wheat crop here, but we do have a pretty decent soft red wheat crop. The spring wheat crop is developing, albeit late. But problem with U.S. wheat is we have no demand. and I'm not sure when that's going to change. And I think that lack of demand continues to weigh on the wheat market. Here you have a situation where Minneapolis wheat was your leader on the downside, followed by Kansas City. And here's Chicago trying to poke its nose up, you know, albeit noticeably off its highs. As far as I'm concerned, if you're going to have a bull market in wheat, it's going to be led by the hard varieties, not the soft varieties. I think Chicago wheat, it got its support today from the liquidation of those intermarket spreads.
That's Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. We finished mixed in corn, 768 on the July, up 7.25. Deese down 7.75, 693.75. How big was that sell-off for soybeans? Well, for July, down 28.25, 1652.75. Novi beans off 34 to 1476.5. July wheat up 1.25, 976.5. In livestock, August live cattle down $1.32, 134.92. And August lean hogs down $1.47 to 108.32. That does it for the Wednesday Farm Market Review and the Thursday Morning Podcast. Thanks for joining us. And we thank the folks at First Farmers Bank and Trust for sponsoring today's podcast. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.